always look forward to our conversations with this gentleman, Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star, joining us now. Bruce, can we begin, because it's Canada and we sort of like hockey. We really like hockey. We're about to watch two teams who are different yet equitable, and there is one on the cusp of making some history for itself, going after three cups in a row, and one that's, you know, kind of the waiting there to for Tampa Bay to get out of the way.
Yeah, David and Al, this could be a really should be a really fun series. I hope it doesn't let us down. Like, I kind of remember when Tampa played Chicago in 2015, there was a little bit of a similar vibe to it. The kind of this multiple championship Chicago team, and then the it's their turn Tampa team. And that series was really close, but it wasn't as dramatic as it could have been, right? Like, there was almost no lead changes. I hope this thing swings back and forth like a ship in the ocean waves, because there's going to be so much talent on this. It's such a shame that Nazem Kadri's hurt, and that Braden Point, he might come back in the series, but he's not going to be 100%. But these are two teams that are, I mean, Colorado is the class of the league. This is such a good team. The speed, the stars. Makar is just unbelievable. MacKinnon, again, like I say every time, he's one of the most instantly recognizable players. If no one was wearing a number, you'd be able to pick out Nathan MacKinnon. Both teams have depth. Both teams are really smart and can play to the score. Just a wonderful series in the offing. What I'm going to be fascinated by is one of the things about this Tampa run is they have been able to figure out other teams as the series has gone on. They trailed 2-1 and 3-2 to the Toronto Maple Leafs, won the last two games. They never had a problem in the second round. And then against the Rangers, they lost the first two, and then they figured it out, right, and won four straight. They are so smart. They don't have as much depth as they did in the last couple of years. But they're such a smart and resilient and tough team, and they're going to have the better goalie in the series. And Colorado is going to be there for the first time at this level. A lot of these guys playing at this level in these kind of pressure games for the first time. And I do think that they are probably the more talented team, even without Kadri, although that brings it a little closer. But they're going to have to overcome playing in the moment, and they're going to have to overcome the guy who I think we all agree is probably the best goalie in the world. In these kind of situations. And there's so many moving parts to this series. It has a chance to be a classic. I hope it is.
So both teams, Tampa and Colorado, had to go through Canadian clubs to get there, two good Canadian clubs. And my question to you is, as much fun as this series is going to be, and I believe you, I'm all in like you are, I think it's going to be a great series. When can we reasonably expect that there's going to be a Canadian team in the Stanley Cup final?
Oh, boy. I feel like that question's probably been asked a few times over the last 30 years or so. You know what was funny? And I hate to make this Toronto-centric, but if we go back to that Toronto loss to the Lightning for a second, that was a one-goal series. So essentially a one-play series. That was about as close as a series can be between two teams. And I can't say that if Toronto wins that series, they then run on to the Stanley Cup final. I can't say that. But I do think that you can see how good that Toronto team was. Like, the Florida Panthers won a President's Trophy and got swept by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, New York had the guy who was the hottest goalie in the world this year and lost four straight after winning two. Toronto was right there the whole way. So if that series flips just a little bit, I think Toronto isn't that far away. Now, the problem you get is that Toronto team isn't going to be the team that's going to be playing next year. The Edmonton team we saw isn't going to be the team that's going to be playing next year. Calgary should have still room to grow after a great regular season and losing to Edmonton. There are pretty good teams in Canada right now. Like, these teams are not that far away, and that's the thing. There's always a statistical kind of uphill climb for Canadian teams. There aren't as many teams, and Canadian teams play under more pressure than their American counterparts always. And so I would say between Edmonton and the way McDavid, God knows what he's going to be next year. God knows. And if Drysdale plays on two legs, like, I think that if you make the right moves, you get a little better goaltending and you got something going on. Calgary, maybe. Toronto, maybe. But there's a chance, right? Like, it's not like everybody stinks. There are real good teams in this country. They just got to do it.
I would put to you that I think whoever comes out of Toronto and Edmonton in this summer with the better goalie is going to, because I think a lot of it was goaltending. No disrespect. I think that both teams had great goaltending at times, but you need a consistent excellence in that department. And both teams maybe had one, not the other. Whoever comes up with the right tandem among those two teams, I think might have a great chance.
Well, it's one of the hardest things in hockey, right? It's finding the goalie who will definitely carry you, who will definitely be there when you need them, right? Like, there's a lot of guys who can do a lot of things. But the goaltending still has an element of variability to it. So we're going to see. Like, I think you're right that there is a market out there for guys who can help you. But one of the problems with the Toronto Maple Leafs this year is they picked the wrong backup goalie, and it cost them some regular season standings. And one of the problems Edmonton had when they met Colorado is that Mike Smith against the Colorado Avalanche is probably not the matchup that you want. And I would say that Toronto probably has a little better back end than Edmonton. I think there's more depth there, and not perfect, but they've got more happening. But I think goaltending is such an equalizer in this game, and more than an equalizer. And that's going to be one of the chases you're going to be watching this summer.
Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star joining us here on TSN 1260. It's Low Tide and Jameson. Let's go to golf and the usual run-up to the U.S. Open. We would be talking about storylines, but nobody was having much of that yesterday when Phil Mickelson met the media. What did you make of what he said, and just that there was a layer of sadness to the way he presented himself?
Well, I mean, he chose the money, right? Mm-hmm. And only that. It's not like, because a lot of guys chose the money. Dustin Johnson picked the money, Bryson DeChambeau, all these guys. But Phil is the guy who was quoted, I believe, by Alan Shipnuck, formerly of Sports Illustrated, in saying that, like, the Saudis were scary guys. And he was aware of the murder of the Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi, right? Like, he's aware of the societal problems and human rights violations in Saudi Arabia. And he took the money. Well, maybe it's because he gambled away too much. Maybe he just, the money got too big, and $200 million was too much to turn off, right? Like, and you can understand that. But you can't defend it. That's the problem, right? You can't really say that I'm doing this for any other reason that they. It's like Krusty the Clown said about Camp Krusty when Bart asks him at the end of the episode, they drove a dump truck full of money up to my house. I'm not made of stone. Right. There was a great answer today by John Rahm about why he's choosing the PGA Tour. And he was asked, and he said, I'm doing this because, you know what, if I make all this extra money, is my lifestyle really going to change? Not really. He's already a rich guy, but he believes in the history. It means something to win at the Memorial. Right. It means something to win at Torrey Pines. It means something to be a part of that tradition and play the best players in the world in what he considers real golf, as opposed to this kind of cockamamie, like, Saudi golf weirdo format that they've got going. This is a battle for the soul of a sport that has always had a bit of a questionable soul, right, in terms of where the money comes from. But you can see there's real admiration for the guys who are staying on the PGA Tour. My question is this, though. The amount of money being splashed around by the Saudis is insane. Insane, right? Like, no one should be paying Phil Mickelson $200 million for anything, much less a cut-rate schedule in weirdo golf. But how deep are the pockets, and how consistent is the willingness to spend that money for what is probably a weird product? And, like, I could see this thing blowing up unless the Saudis really decide to spend billions and billions of dollars. And in 10 years, we see a PGA Tour where half the guys or more have taken the money because there's so much there to be had. It's not impossible. And it has real interesting global ramifications for how sports works.
And it's a great point you make, and I love the word when you talked about soul of golf, because the money is so enormous, it's almost like it's endless. There's no end to the opportunity that is there monetarily if you want to be a part of it. But there's also, and I guess maybe the NFL would be the other example, there's a moral issue here. At what point do you, like, ordinarily, what you would do if you're the PGA is you'd cut bait. You'd make some kind of an arrangement where you had to, you know, sign a player to the tour for 5 years, and then they'd have an option or whatever. But I don't know if you can even do business at that level if you're the PGA, because this feels like it's a fight to the death either way.
Well, and that's the thing, is the PGA can't pay that money, right? Like, if you're talking about a global marketplace like this, this is like when the Russians bid for the 2014 Olympics and their budget was $51 billion U.S. And Sweden, Norway, Austria, I believe, all pulled out of bidding for the 2022 Olympics, which is how we got Beijing. And Beijing, in 2008, spent $45 billion. autocratic societies with control over the pocketbooks can spend an unbelievable amount of money on this kind of stuff. So the PGA has to go with the idea of history, of solidarity, of it still being the best place to play golf, because it's not going to be, for the high-end players, the most lucrative place to play golf. And I don't think we've seen that in terms of men's sports. We've seen it actually in women's sports, because you can make it. That's one reason that Brittany Griner, the imprisoned American basketball player, was in Russia, because they could make a lot more money in Russia than they could in the WNBA. But we haven't seen it in men's sports, where you go outside of Europe or North America and make the most possible money. And that's where this is so interesting. It's a realignment of global priorities. And one thing that to think about, and this is a bit of a dark thought, and I apologize for bringing it up. Ask me where the United States is going to be in 10 years in terms of the reactionary policies it has against minorities, right? Like, this could become a much more complicated conversation in terms of the backlash against LGBTQ populations, in terms of people of color, immigrants, all that stuff. This could get uglier, right? But as it stands right now, there is a quantifiable moral difference between the Saudis and the Russians and the Chinese and the Americans, and how we've built the kind of sports world. And that's where this gets so interesting, because this is a glimpse of a future, if not the future.
Bruce Arthur with us here on TSN 1260 from the Toronto Star. We know that Steph Curry is brilliant, transcendent, and he has been all of that in the lead up to last night's game. But how good is that Warriors team when Curry can go 0-for-9 from 3-point and score just 16 points, and they end up beating a very good Boston team?
And some of those shots missed by a mile. Like,
yeah.
He did not look very good.
No.
The Golden State, and at this point has been made, Golden State is spending more money than any other team in the league. Andrew Wiggins is their fourth best player. If you're really objectively looking at it, makes $32 million. But last night, Andrew Wiggins was really, really good. Really good. This is a guy who, remember, has not had a killer instinct at any point of his professional career, up to and including the start of this year in Golden State. But he's been inculcated into that culture. And so you can see that there's championship pedigree still with this Golden State team in terms of how they defend. Like, Klay Thompson's not quite himself. Steph Curry wasn't himself last night. Draymond Green was pretty good, but still not classic Draymond Green. And they had enough still to beat this Boston team, which really is it's a funny team. The Boston has an all-world defense, but their offense really does go up and down and up and down. Their big mistake here is this. I don't know how many games you're going to get in this series where Steph Curry misses 9 three-pointers and doesn't make one.
No.
Like, that was the first time, I think, in 245 games he didn't make a three. Like, they might have missed their shot right there, and now they've got a Game 6 in Boston, and hopefully for them, a Game 7 Golden State. But I still go back. This Golden State team is so tough. Even in the year where the Raptors beat them, the Golden State team that year was without Kevin Durant for about 15 minutes and lost Klay Thompson at the end. I still think that Golden State team, if they hadn't lost Klay Thompson, was going to win that series against Toronto, or it was going to be real close. These guys are tough, and that's the thing. They're a championship organization, and they're still showing it.
Great stuff as always. Thanks, Bruce.
Dave, Al, always my pleasure, guys.